It's not just a party weekend. It is the time that we remember those men and women who have died serving this great country. From the two world wars, the Civil War, Korean War, Vietnam, and our present day war.
They died fighting to gain our freedom, and they continue to fight for those freedoms. Continue to bless their memories and watch over us serving now. It is in your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Lisa. I attended the Bandera High School graduation ceremony on Friday night. We had, I think, 8 from this church that walked the stage, and it was marvelous to see them as they reached a new milestone in their life. But there was a special point that was made for a certain number of the young boys and girls. The announcer, Charlie, would say, and so-and-so is going to join the United States Army. So-and-so is going to join the United States Navy. And so-and-so is going to become a member of the Air Force. And that made my heart feel good, because I remember a young man who came in here several years ago named Greg. George, he was a friend of yours. And he told us about the war in Iraq and how he had been almost killed and still suffers greatly for the injuries that occurred. But he said that you need not worry that the men and the women that are serving in today's military services are as brave a group of soldiers that you can imagine. And so I am grateful to hear that and to know that men and women, and we have some here today. What you said your son Matthew is thinking about, I know that Eon and James maybe and some others are considering the military service. What an honor. Well, it's time to dismiss the children, so you may go to your class. Well, join me in prayer, we'll begin. Well, Father, it is a special day when we remember those and give respect to those who have defended our freedom. One of those freedoms is the right to come together and to worship you freely. What a special freedom that is. And as we stand here, as I stand here, Father, this morning, proclaiming your word, and as we have sung praises to you and honored you, I give you thanks in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, Memorial Day started officially, not officially, but unofficially, when a mother of two Confederate soldiers who had lost their lives went to their gravesite in Mississippi and put flowers on their graves. She also went to a couple of mounds in the corner of the cemetery and placed flowers on those graves. And someone said, don't you know that those are the graves of the Union Army soldiers? And she said, yes, I know. And there's a mother or a wife that is mourning for her sons as I'm mourning for mine. Well, the custom of placing flowers on graves started after that in New York, in the other side of the Mason-Dixie line, in 1866, when General John Logan, he was president of the Grand Army of the Republic, declared that May the 30th, which is tomorrow, would be the official birthplace and date for Memorial Day, when flowers would be placed to decorate the graves of comrades that had lost their lives during the Civil War. It was later and after World War I, that it was declared to be Memorial Day, in which any soldier who had lost his life in any war would be honored that day. You know, I looked through the Bandera Bulletin, and I looked through the Bandera County Courier, and I looked through the San Antonio Express News to find out what was going on this weekend. I purposed to do that. And what I discovered was there was rodeos galore. There are dances galore. There are parties galore, car shows, all sorts of events that are planned this weekend. But you might be surprised to know, as I discovered, that 95% of those events are occurring Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, not Monday. Monday is Memorial Day. And so at least the public and these groups of people that plan these things show enough respect to have these events on the weekend of, but not the day of, Memorial Day. And I'm glad to see that. In fact, the few things that were scheduled for tomorrow are memorial services. There's a number of them, and so you can attend one of them tomorrow if you'd like, or whatever you want to do. This is a memorial service today because it is Memorial Day. You know, we are called to remember, and memory is a gift from our Lord. It's a very special gift, because you just think about it, in a flash of a moment, you can be a child again, remembering when you were throwing rocks at a squirrel in a tree, or riding your bicycle for the first time. You can recall and relive that time. You can relive the time when you fell in love and when you married your first wife. I married my first wife. You can recall when you had children again. It's as though that you were there. It's a very special time when God gives you this ability to remember things. And it's as though you were there. When Carol and I celebrated our 45th wedding anniversary, we talked for a while about when we first met. And I was a little different then, she said. She's tried to change me, and she has changed me in some ways. She said I was fighting the Civil War. I just don't fight it openly now as much as I used to. Some memories are happy memories, and we find joy. Some memories are sad. We find ourselves tearing up when we recall those things. They're very practical also. Memory is very practical. Think about it. If you couldn't remember that a red light means to stop, you'd be in big trouble. If you couldn't remember that when you're thirsty, that water quenches your thirst, you could end up in big trouble. If you couldn't remember what month or day it is, or if you couldn't remember your name, you would be in big trouble. So memories are very practical. There's a true story about a man who the police picked up, who was wandering the streets. And they soon discovered that he had a bad case of amnesia, a true case of amnesia. Someone who knew him came and told him, well, this is who you are, this is your name, and you have a wife, and you have children, you have a home, you have a job. But you know what? He found no peace in knowing that, because he had no memory of that. And as his memory slowly returned, he said that without a memory of our past, it's as though we didn't live at all. So our life really is made up of the memories of our past. There's special memories that I have, that I think of. I remember falling in love with a beautiful girl. She was a senior in high school. The problem was, I was a first grader. She was the most beautiful girl in the world. And I still think about her. Her name was Mary Jane Tomlinson. But she's 12 years older than me, so that makes her 80. 81. But that's a memory that I have. I remember when I graduated from high school. High schoolers, or no, you're no longer high schoolers, are you? You're a graduate now. I remember graduating from high school. I remember graduating from college. Well, I remember meeting Carol first time, and yeah, we were fighting the Civil War back then. I remember marrying her and 45 years with her. I remember our children being born. Both of them are here today. John is here, surprised me. I didn't know he was coming. I understand that this message is being videoed. That's one reason not to be up here. The second reason is my family's here. That's another reason not to be here. What pleasant memories that we all have that God has given us. I also remember 1978 when I became a Christian. That's a memory that Satan cannot take from me. It's a very special memory. That's when my life changed. I remember that. You know, our Lord has left us reminders about himself also. The rainbow is a reminder from our Lord that he will never again destroy this earth by water. He tells us to remember the Sabbath and to keep it holy. He tells us that circumcision was a sign. It was instituted as a reminder that we are God's people. Passover was a reminder to the Jewish people that God at one time did not bring death to their firstborn, but allowed them to escape and brought them out of Egypt to the land, to the promised land, the land of milk and honey. He told Joshua, when you cross the Jordan River, I'm going to stop the water from flowing. And I want you to put 12 stones there as an eternal reminder that this is the place where the river stopped. And finally, we're told to remember that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ gave his life on the cross for us, so we're to recall what he did for us. And so we come on Sunday morning to Pipe Creek Community Church to, I think the essence of it is to remember that God is holy, that he deserves worship, to remember that Jesus died on the cross, that our sins would be forgiven, that we would have eternal life, that the guilt that plagues us would be taken from our hearts, that we could find peace and that we can find joy, that this earth and the things of it cannot provide. It's beyond our understanding. We're here to remember that his power was so great that Christ rose from the grave and was resurrected, and that he can raise us from the dead. We are here to remember that he is the light of the world and that there is no darkness when he's here. We're here to remember that he is holy and that we are not. When we're around him, in fact, we think about our own selfishness and our own sin and how it plagues us. And so we praise and we thank him, even though we're unworthy, for the forgiveness of our sin. And so I pray that this church will remember that, remember the gift of salvation, the gift of eternal life, that we're here to meet a holy and a righteous God. When I think of Jesus, what he would want us to remember about him, if Jesus said, what does he want us to remember about him? I think he would say, well, I do not want you first to remember the Sermon on the Mount. That was the greatest message ever preached. He did not say, remember my great sermon. He doesn't want us to remember first the signs and the wonders and the miracles that he performed. Oh, he performed many. Did you know that they all pointed to him? Healing the blind, which gives light, sight, the deaf, that they might hear, the casting out the evil spirits, that they might be free. No, he didn't tell us to remember those things. He didn't even tell his disciples after the resurrection that they should remember the empty tomb. You would have thought he said, hey guys, look back there. No, the thing he wants us to remember about him more than anything else is that he gave his life so that we might have life. And that's what it's about. I know that you have memories, many of them are pleasant, and I know that you like to think about them. Our scripture today is from Exodus chapter 12, starting with verse 12 and reading through verse 16. God is speaking to the Israelites. He's telling them to get ready to leave Egypt. And this is what he says for them to do. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals. And I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when you see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is the day you are to commemorate. For the generations to come, you shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. For 7 days you are to eat bread made without yeast. On the first day, remove the yeast from your houses, for whoever eats anything with yeast in it, from the first day through the seventh day, must be cut off from Israel. On the first day, hold a sacred assembly, and another one on the seventh day. Do not work at all on these days except to prepare food for everyone to eat. That is all that you may do. Well, the first Memorial Day did not occur in the 1860s, right after or during in the middle of the Civil War. It actually started when God instructed the Jews to have a feast once a year to remember the great works that he had performed when he took them safely from Egypt, out of the hands of the Pharaoh, to the land of Canaan. There was a lamb that was sacrificed for each household of Israelites, and its blood was applied to the doorpost so that the death angel would pass over, and that family would not lose a firstborn. God told Moses to make an anniversary of this miracle and to make it a memorial day. God wanted them to remember these things. Paul Harvey told the story about an old man who every Friday would go to this pier in Florida with a bucket of shrimp. And he would feed the seagulls. And he did that until his death in 1973. This is a true story. You see, back in 1943, some 40 years earlier, Captain Eddie Rickenbacker was flying a B-17 Flying Fortress over the ocean. And he was running low of fuel, and so he and his crew ditched the plane in the ocean. And so they survived, they had rafts, and they lived in these rafts for a month. The food that they had soon was eaten and was spoiled by the salt water, and they had no water to drink. And after 8 days, when they were ready to give up, something lit on the shoulder of Eddie Rickenbacker. And each person looked, and they all recognized and knew what it was. It was as though a God had sent it. It was a seagull. They caught the seagull, and they ate its flesh, and they used its guts to be bait to catch fish so that they could continue to live for a month at sea until they were recovered. And they were recovered. The old man that was passing out shrimp to seagulls was Captain Eddie Rickenbacker. And he realized that this one seagull had given its life so that those in the rafts might live. And when we think of Memorial Day for the United States, it's a time when we think of men who gave their life that we might live. And so just as Eddie Rickenbacker never forgot the gull that gave its life, the Jews were told to never forget the blood of the lambs that was given that they might have life. And so you see, a price has to be paid for freedom. That life is blood. And when we think of Jesus' blood, realize that it wasn't just his blood that was given, because he could have pricked his finger for a drop of blood. You want blood? Here's blood. No, it symbolized life. His life had to be taken. And so that's what we are to remember. Something or someone has to die in order that we might live. And our country's soldiers died that we might have this life of freedom. And Jesus died that we might have life eternal, that we might have spiritual life. And so you see, just as the lamb's blood was placed on the doorpost, it was symbolic of the cross, where Jesus' blood was placed on the cross for us. It represented that same thing. Our soldiers died for our country's freedom, and Jesus died for our spiritual freedom. John 8:36 says, "If the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." And in John 10:10, Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly." And so he paid the price. He gave his life and gave us the crown of heaven when he died on the cross. And so there is no shedding, no freedom without the shedding of blood. And we should never forget that so many soldiers who died for the freedom of America. And most importantly, we must never forget that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ died that we might have eternal life. And so to each of us, every Sunday, this is Sunday, is a memorial day. We celebrate the death and resurrection and life of Jesus Christ. We did it this morning. We had a memorial service when we took communion. It was a memorial service. We took the elements as though they were the body and the blood of Christ. And we learned what his life was about. And so it is a day of remembering. Today is Memorial Day for each one of us. I would ask the praise band to come on up, if they would. I want to tell you some things that I remember. Carol and I have been gone for 3 weeks. We had an agenda where we would be each day and each night. What we would be doing, and our plans were to be passing through Joplin, Missouri, the day of the tornado. But somehow we got out of track and we got ahead of ourselves, and we spent the night in Tulsa. We crossed over the state of Arkansas on Interstate 40. The next day, Interstate 40 was closed because of the floods. We would have been a day behind, or 2 days, or 3 days behind because of the floods. And so I can remember, and Carol and I will remember and not forget, how God protected us during those times. Here's something else you can remember. You know, people talk about maybe the Lord is removing his hand from the United States because of all the sin that is in this nation. I don't think that's happened. Here's a couple of examples. Christmas a year ago, there was a bomber on an airplane that tried to blow up an airplane. And the bomb fizzled, and the only person that was hurt was the bomber himself. Was that coincidental? What was that? And then this past year, there was a young man who tried to blow up Times Square. Remember that? The bomb fizzled. Was that coincidental? Or was that God's hand upon us? Remember that God is working in your life every day. Remember that every breath that you take, that every heartbeat that you have is a gift from Him. Remember that there are many who are no longer with us because they gave their lives. Remember that Christ gave His life that we might live. This morning, if you feel a special need to pray, have a special burden on your heart, this is the time that you can share that. You can pray privately. You can ask one of us, the elders, to pray with you. We would love to. If you have any other need, if you find that your life is empty and that there's a hole that can't be filled, there is a fill for that void, and that is our Lord. So this is your time.